Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Gamer Horizon After Hours podcast. Today we're actually going to change it up a little bit. I don't have the entire crew with me here, but I have somebody with me who has been with Gamer Horizon since its very inception. And in fact, he's been here like even before everybody else was here. And I consider him to be like one of my closest friends. You probably know him as MagusX1 on YouTube. And I've probably been wondering, like, you know, where the hell he's been, you know, like what's going on with him and all that stuff. And I brought him in today so that he can finally answer all those questions himself and, you know, to kind of catch up. So without any further ado, here's Magus.
First and foremost, I'm replacing all the Gamer Horizon from here on out, and I am now the overruler of Gamer Horizon.
Nice. I thought you were going to start it with, like, hey, guys, Mag is here.
Nah, that's old school. I don't feel old school today. I feel like being a smartass more so these days. So.
Jesus Christ. So how you been, man?
Been pretty good. Just to say, let's clear up the thing. I hardly check my YouTube message thing, so if you're sending me messages, I probably haven't read it. I'm hardly on Twitter. I'm hardly on Facebook. So most people have catched that, I'm sure, right?
Maybe. Like, somebody did, like, one of your viewers, like, actually asked me about that. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, I tried to do is I didn't want to be your voice. You know, like, I respect you that much of a person that I didn't want to say, like, well, Magus is doing this or Anthony is doing that. I feel that since you're a close friend of mine, like, I feel that when the time is right, you'll basically come on, you know, out of hiding and stuff and say pretty much, like, why you left and stuff. And, you know, and, yeah, it's at the cost of everybody thinking we had, like, a fight. So I guess the biggest question is, like, why did you leave? And I even,
why did I?
Of course, like, you know, this is, of course, knowing that I know, but, you know, let's pretend I don't know.
You pretend you don't know? Okay. Let's see. Why didn't you leave?
What do you mean, why didn't I leave?
Why I left? Okay. Well, you stayed because you're obviously the editor-in-chief, so there you go.
Sure.
Why did I leave? Well, nothing bad happened. Basically, it was very sudden. A lot of things just suddenly happened. We recorded the last – I think it was what? February 20th was the last show?
Yeah, February 2013.
Yeah, okay. So it wasn't that long ago. But basically, yeah, a lot of things in my personal life happened. I'm not going to go into detail because, quite frankly, it's not any these people's business.
Sure.
You know, because you're my friend, but I'm just saying. One thing I can say is I've gotten a job that actually has me very busy these days.
Okay.
And it cuts my evenings. Then I was going at school, so I just didn't have the time to write articles for Gamer Horizon,
okay,
quite frankly. And I didn't have time to do the podcast because the job cut into my evening schedule.
Right.
And there's a typical Magus moment without shutting his phone off.
Amazing.
That's what we miss the most. That's what we miss most from these.
Well, but also, like, the lag and all the disconnection issues and then the mic issues, you know.
The dogs.
the dogs. The
child.
Yeah, the hippie teenagers that, like, break into your backyard and try to steal your internet. Remember that?
Yeah, that's lovely. But anyway, you know, there was no falling out. I sent an email. Everyone was cool that I left for a while. I was so busy. To be honest, there was about 2 months we didn't talk, but it wasn't because I was mad at Alex or anything. The reason we didn't talk was to this day, Alex has some frustration getting hold of me, correct?
Yeah, it's really difficult to get a hold of you because, like, every time I text you when I get off of work and, you know, like, before we actually stopped the podcast when Anthony left, you know, the season 2 podcast, I suppose, or season 3, whatever the last season was, like, you know, it was very difficult to just even get a hold of you in general because normally every single day I would call you after I get off of work just to kind of talk, but, you know, that doesn't happen anymore, you know, like, it couldn't happen because you're always, like, heading to work that time.
Well, or I'm at work.
Right.
I'm starting my shift, so, or I'm either starting my shift or in the middle of a shift, so there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, So that's the thing. And then, you know, Alex and I used to talk on the pretty much what near daily basis.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, you know, every time I get off of work, like I said, like I would literally just call you like right away and talk about games and all that stuff. And that's kind of like how we work, you know. And even then, like, you know, just a casual conversation just to kind of catch up, you know, his life, my life and all that sort of thing. And, you know, as much as we can, we try to contact each other. But, you know, hey, life, you know, life happens. You know what I mean?
Yep. So to all you people who think, oh, I hate Ted, I hate this new Sean Messler guy. I don't even know him, but I don't know him, so I don't hate him. I hate Ted. I hate Ari. I hate Chris. I hate Alex. Nope, not true. Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't talked to Ted, Chris, or Ari in a while, though.
Yeah, that's because they've been really busy, too. I mean, you know, like, we've been really working hard on Gamer Horizon over the past few months. And have you been catching up at all on the website?
As much as I can. Here's the first thing that's going to shock people a little bit. And you know this. This is going to be the gaming aspect. I've kind of bit. There was a spot you were last year with gaming, and I'm at with right now. I kind of got out of it for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of getting back into it now. My big thing is still and has been comic books. I've just been focusing on that as my side hobby.
Sure.
But I still do game, you know. But there's some things I haven't done, like beat BioShock Infinite, beat Tomb Raider. Mm-hmm. I haven't even bought The Last of Us.
Yeah.
And I'm not, like, in a super hurry to buy The Last of Us. Mm-hmm. I know it's a great game, you know, and all that, but I'm not in a hurry to.
That's really amazing, considering, like, since I've known you since 2009, you've been really just, you know, like, headfirst deep into gaming. So that's really surprising that you're not these days.
Yeah, and Alex knows I buy anything, pretty much,
mm-hmm.
from FPSs to your Japanese RPG.
Right.
So, but I think what's happened, too, is I'm a bit more picky on what I play these days, because what I ended up doing – and this started last year, actually, while we were doing the podcast. You'll probably notice I got more critical of Western games, rightly so, I think, to this day. But that was because maybe I was buying too much stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So right now I'm very careful in what I purchase. I haven't bought in a game – no, I haven't bought a full retail game since Injustice.
Wow.
A full retail game. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't count, you know, the like stuff like the Oracle of Seasons stuff from Nintendo, the Zelda stuff,
sure.
You know, the Dungeons and Dragons arcade game. What else? What the fuck else did I talk about? Can we cuss on this?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean,
okay.
Yeah, of course. Like,
okay,
there's no limits.
You changed the rules.
No.
Okay, fuck yeah. Okay. Okay.
There you go. Like, Anthony, like, expressing, like, his free will again.
Okay, so let's put it this way. I haven't had time to play that type of stuff. You know, like, long, deep games. But I will confess, I've bought all the DLC for Injustice.
Did you buy, like, the Martian Manhunter pack today?
Yes, I did.
Oh, wow.
I have everything, all the costumes, everything. And that's because I'm a big DC fan fuck, so mm-hmm. that helps.
Okay.
I mean, it's both of both worlds, because when I collect comics, one thing I'll take is I'm a DC guy.
Right.
Marvel's not bad. I may have been overly critical of them in recent past,
mm-hmm.
but I prefer DC. I think DC has better writers. The only thing that Marvel's kicking their ass in is live action film. But that's another discussion.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, Injustice fulfills that need, you know, in between.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So that's one big thing that I've been playing. I suppose as far as gaming goes, I'll admit I do play my Wii U a lot, and I told Alex this too, and I'll tell you what I like my Wii U for. Retro stuff. I mean, that's not a sole reason you should own a console, and mm-hmm. the state of the Wii U is quite pathetic, mm-hmm. but when it comes to playing retro games, that's my need.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've been digging lately. I mean, fuck, you know, to, I guess, somewhat Nintendo's credit, they finally got off their ass and released Earthbound.
Yeah,
so,
I know. I actually still haven't purchased that, and you just reminded me to buy that. But then again, I'm kind of hesitant and I'm thinking, like, maybe I should wait for Earthbound to come out for 3DS. I don't know, but we'll see.
I haven't seen any, to be fair, though, I haven't seen any Super Nintendo games on the 3DS.
This is true. Kind of, since you kind of brought it up, the latest earnings report came in for Nintendo, and I'm actually curious to see, like, what you think of this, because, you know, like, we haven't talked to you in a while, and I'm sure a lot of, like, our readers and listeners and stuff are kind of curious what you think of this, and since this is, like, a really hot topic right now, and, you know, it's kind of funny because, like, I think Sean, like, on Hangouts was like, why is nobody talking about this? This is a pretty big deal. Have you heard, like, how many Wii U units have sold over the past 3 months?
I heard that it's not very good.
Okay, so if I remember correctly, in January was like 100,000 or something like that. What if I told you that the past 3 months, the Wii U only sold 160,000 units?
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So so let me go ahead and clarify where I stand with Nintendo, okay? You know.
Sure.
But they don't.
Oh, okay. You don't need to reiterate that. Obviously, in every moment that we can talk, we actually use that time enough time to catch up. And, you know, it's kind of funny, guys, when Anthony said that he's not into games, like current games and stuff like that, like he also isn't up on current news. Which really surprised me too, because I was like, at the very least, I would think you'd think about news because, you know, like you're very opinionated and you have like a sort of, you know, say on a lot of things. So I guess that's like my first question to you. What do you think of Nintendo right now?
Okay. Well, let's start. I'll get the good stuff out, okay?
Okay.
About Nintendo.
Sure.
The good stuff. Nintendo as a game developer is killing it, okay? They are killing it. They are killing it, okay? So, and I'm getting interrupted. Give me a moment.
It's very typical. So, yeah. So I'm going to leave this all in so you guys who are listening actually can tell, like, you know, that the magic behind, like, the podcast when I record with Anthony. And yeah, most of the time he actually gets interrupted by his kid or the dogs are barking or his internet cuts off and he gets like disconnected from the internet. So these kinds of things are actually very natural. I was just telling our listeners that I wasn't going to cut this part because that's how After Hours is. It's very raw, very minimal cuts, and it kind of like showing people like this is the kind of stuff that happened back when we were doing the podcast every single week.
To be fair, I've been listening to a lot of Kevin Smith stuff lately.
Okay.
Particularly Fat Man on Batman, which is his Batman podcast, which is great if you're a Batman fan. He gets interrupted by his daughter, his wife, by his dogs. Okay, and this is fucking Kevin Smith, so.
Yeah, that's true. So,
so
are you implying that you're Kevin Smith?
No, I'm not Kevin Smith. I'm not Kevin. I don't have the intelligence to make Clerks. So.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Well, maybe I do, but I don't know. Anyway, back to the Nintendo subject. Nintendo, here's the good thing. Nintendo handles handhelds very well. Nintendo can also do – they still, to be fair, they make damn good games. They make damn good games. Their game development is amongst the best. They're very good at level design for platformers. They're very good at just all kinds of designs, atmosphere. They know game design. They're very good at it. That's what they're good at. But what do they suck at? They suck at marketing. They suck at, you know, at making stupid decisions such as let's not fucking put a story mode because let's plays fucking spoil it. Stupid shit like that. They suck at understanding online. You know, I'll be honest. I have driven – I'm becoming more old-fashioned. I'm not the biggest fan of online play except for maybe fighters. But come on. If you're going to succeed, you need fucking online.
Mm-hmm.
You can't – there's not – I could live without online, but there's more people out there who like online. Come on, Nintendo. Friend codes, come on.
Did you hear about like what Nintendo did at Evo? Like, you know, that whole kind of backpedaling and kind of, you know, banning thing where – did you hear about that?
Where they didn't allow the streaming of Smash Brothers?
Yeah, and then like about maybe 2-3 hours later, they backpedaled and said, no, we're kidding. We're kidding. We're allowing it.
Sounds like that other game company I'm critical of, Microsoft. But anyway, let me get this straight. The only company I feel that are doing things right, sure, they have a few stumbles, is Sony at the moment. But that's not beside the point. Nintendo, on this hand, is just – they're making stupid decisions, even dumber than they did in the Wii days.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand this with marketing. It's marketing. That's their biggest fuck up is fucking marketing, man. They don't. Okay, let's look at it. Let me bring up a person. Major Nelson, okay?
Okay.
He's kind of the spokesperson for Microsoft. He has been for years. Despite what they say about Xbox One and stuff, Major Nelson has been the spokesperson. Okay, that's one thing Microsoft has been good. They have this guy that's the face of Microsoft, correct? Or has been for the most part. In earlier years, when the 360 – I'm talking 2006, 2007, 2008 – so he wasn't like super well known, but he was known among the core base. Nintendo used to have that. They used to have that redheaded dude with the bow tie, Howard Phillips or something like that.
Well, yeah, back in the day, yeah.
Back in the day, they had a spokesperson. They had someone that was kind of the face of Nintendo for the hardcore people. You know, if you were a kid like me, I didn't learn about Howard Phillips till I was about 19. But still, he was kind of the face for those who read like Nintendo Power Magazine and things like that.
Uh-huh.
You know, Nintendo, that was good marketing back then. They don't have that face. I don't even know if they have an official podcast.
Well, they have like those Iwata Asks kind of stuff. But I mean, I don't think necessarily that it's a figurehead issue, because I think...
Oh, there's a lot of other issues.
Well, yeah. I mean, because Microsoft has a figurehead issue as well. Like, remember what happened with Don Matrick, like, you know, which we'll talk about later, because I want to go through like each of the individual companies so that, you know, where you're caught up and, you know, our listeners and viewers are caught up. Yeah, so, I mean, Don Matrick was the figurehead for a little bit, and kind of Major Nelson is kind of like this guy that just merely posts sales or, you know, like what's released on Xbox Live, which is kind of weird because he became, like, to me, like, it was pretty much close to pointless, like, subscribing to Major Nelson's blog because it just became like a, you know, it was very inorganic compared to, like, the PlayStation blog posts and stuff. Like, it was just like, here's what's coming out, blah, 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 and then, you know, that's it. But what else do you think, like, is the problem with Nintendo?
That, and then just, it's hard to say, it's really, okay, so let's look at the handhelds. The 3DS, I think, is in good health because they have a good bountiful of games, okay? Now, on the Wii U, you have a situation where I said earlier, Nintendo makes damn good games. Where are those damn good games? Pikmin comes out soon, but I mean, what else is coming out? And I mean, that's why you buy a Nintendo system, to play Nintendo, and that's a problem in itself. You don't buy a Nintendo to play fucking Madden. You don't buy a Nintendo system to play, you know, Call of Duty. You buy PlayStation 3 or Xbox 360 to play those games. And that's the problem. You buy that, and that's been the problem for years since the N64 days, and they still haven't figured it out.
I think their biggest problem right now is their lack of focus. I think, because I mean, in the Wii, they basically tried to attract the casual market, which worked really extremely well for them. You know, of course, it didn't work out for the third parties because they didn't support them really well. And then you see the Wii U, and they basically said, "We made a mistake. We're going to focus on the hardcore gamer." Which is, you know, at surface level, it seems like a really good idea, but what does that really mean? You know, like, you create, like, this tablet-type device that is not multi-touch. It's only, you know, touch-capacitive, I think. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think that's the term, but, you know, like, just one touch with a stylus and sometimes, you know, your fingers. You have, like, this almost remote play-like functionality with the Wii U and whatnot, and then you discover when you create this hardware, and this is something to the admission of Nintendo that it's very difficult to make games for it, and so we were caught with our pants down. And this is something that Nintendo readily admits, that they're like, "Geez, we didn't know that it was going to be this difficult to develop and stuff." And I'm like, you don't know, like, the current requirements of games? I mean, is that how out of touch you are? And mind you, I'm going to be looking forward to when, you know, the Super Mario Brothers 3D World comes out, just like the next person. But, you know, as I've told you before, it's really difficult to support them when even that game you know, which is multiplayer, doesn't have online capabilities. I mean,
bingo.
You know, it's like one of their flagship franchises, and they still have, they have this cowardice when it comes to online. Like, you know, they feel like if they try to do online and stuff, any sort of person in the entire world will pollute the community that they've created. And, you know, as much as I tend to compare Nintendo with Apple, even Apple was not this anal retentive about, like, you know, like controlling content and stuff. Like, they're literally like saying, we are willing to regress our technology in order to protect our consumers. You know, that, and that to me is just ridiculous.
Look, the shit that they pulled back in the late 80s, early 90s with the chips and stuff, that might have flied back then because the market was different back then. It don't fly today, though. And I still think they're living in that time frame. You know what I'm saying? Kind mm-hmm. of wanting that, to control that. They're, you know, back then when you, you know, when you put in the chips, you know, to lock out unauthorized third-party games,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we all have to have the fucking Nintendo seal of approval,
sure.
which a lot of people don't still exist, but that's beside the point. You know, to get that seal of approval, you had to be literally approved by Nintendo.
Right.
Back then, they were very strict. You know, how many games were fucking edited? How many Castlevania's crosses and religious stuff that
yeah.
that isn't really that? Yeah, stuff like that. So the point I'm getting at is they're still living in that day and age, it seems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of our fans on our Facebook page actually wanted us to post to help with a petition asking Nintendo to remove region locking. And, you know, like, I almost posted it, but the reason why I didn't post it isn't because I don't want to support it, but because I knew from the bottom of my heart and based off of, you know, 30 years of knowledge of what Nintendo is, that they will never do that. They will never remove region locking. And one of the reasons why I think this way is because if you look at every single Nintendo platform ever released, they have made absolutely sure that on a hardware level, whether it's like a, you know, an additional notch on the back of a cartridge that'll force people to either file the thing away or, you know, change the case, like, size and stuff like that. Like, Nintendo does not want to cross-pollute, like, you know, regions and stuff. And, again, it's this weird, you know, kind of, you know, anti-globalization kind of effort on their part where they're like, you know, like, even Iwata was, like, caught saying, like, yeah, the reason why, you know, the reason we believe in globalization and stuff, which is why we're doing, like, region locking. I'm like, you know, we realize, Iwata, that doesn't make any fucking sense, right? You know, it's like, well, how can you believe in globalization, but you say you're just going to keep the region locking, you know? I think he's outspoken in that sense because the main reason, and let me know if you agree with this, that Nintendo locks out things is because, like, for example, Pikmin 3 comes out in Japan. They want to make sure that, you know, like, if Pikmin 3 comes out in the United States, maybe, like, 5 or 6 months later, that they haven't cannibalized their sales for the U.S. if it got released in Japan and it's, you know, and the system is region-locked and not region-locked. You get what I'm saying?
And that's, I agree with that. And that's the thing, you know, importing games is a very niche thing to do.
Right.
It always has been. That's the thing. You don't import, you know, most people don't import. Nintendo doesn't understand that. Most people don't import.
Right.
That's a fact. Most don't. I love Japanese games. They're probably my preference to a degree. Right now, to a degree, you know, I'm also in the indie game thing, I suppose,
mm-hmm.
but that's beside the point. But you don't, the only time I would import is to get something that probably won't come out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a Seiken Densetsu 3 or a PS3 port of Tales of Vesperia. Those are cases where I would import. But not even then, not everyone – well, some people are happy with the 360 version of it, which is fine.
Yeah, I mean you have to also consider the cost of importing. I mean imports are like – you know, our games here are $60. Like imports are like $80-$90 depending on like what they are because of variable pricing in Japan. You know, I remember I waited when I went to Japan to buy Final Fantasy XII. Like, you know, the price on the box originally was – like 80, you know, like 8,000 yen or something like that. I was like, $80? What the hell? Like, for like a Final Fantasy 12 for the PS2 is like $80 there. I was like, that is crazy.
I remember hearing those prices for 7 and 8 and shit.
Mm-hmm. Because they have variable pricing in Japan, which, you know, we don't have here. Like, and thank goodness, like, there's a ceiling of $60 here.
So Nintendo's mentality is let's protect our products against a very niche market.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. It doesn't make sense. It really doesn't.
Okay. But again, you know, I'm going to go back and I want to be a little positive here. They still make damn good games. I've heard good things about Luigi's Mansion. You've told me Luigi's Mansion is pretty good.
It's pretty fucking amazing. Chris is hooked on it. Like, I basically let him borrow it and stuff because he just recently got a 3DS XL and he's just been playing just that game. I mean, if anything, what Nintendo is doing right is its 3DS XL and 3DS in general. The 3D is probably negligible for a lot of games these days, but for the most part, that platform is so awesome. Like, that
is an awesome platform.
That is probably, you know, and this is not hyperbole, because I know the games that's on there. It is probably the best Nintendo platform to be released in a very long time.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Probably their best since GameCube.
Yeah.
Because you and I – now, I think we've talked about this, but if you don't remember, Alex and I are very big supporters of the GameCube. Well,
yeah.
I feel the GameCube is one of Nintendo's – it's its best console in the last maybe 15 years?
Yeah. I mean, if you list the games that it had, you know, Rogue Leader, it's Rogue Leader, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, it had like Smash Brothers games, it had Double Dash, it had Sunshine, which, you know, that's a point of contention, but that was something that Nintendo, the most admirable thing about Sunshine is that they had the balls to basically, like, break out of their formula and create that game. I mean, that was amazing.
That is a great game.
Yeah, and then there's Luigi's Mansion, Eternal Darkness, you know, the original Resident Evil 4, Resident Evil 1, you know,
Tales
I mean...
Tales of Symphonia.
Yeah, Tales of Symphonia.
You know I was going to throw that.
Yeah, the port of Skies of Arcadia, I mean, and Baten Kaitos, like, you can go on and on and on that platform, and you would be like, damn... That is a really good system. And that was, and, you know, and that's in comparison to the fucking Nintendo 64. You know, like, that's crazy.
I hate to say this, but a lot of people like to hype up the N64, and I think I'm not saying Ocarina of Time is the worst game ever. It's a great game. I think the 3DS port is far superior, obviously, mm-hmm. for obvious reasons.
Right.
But I think that's the main reason why people hype up that console, mm-hmm. because of Ocarina of Time. And GoldenEye, which hasn't aged well. And Perfect Dark, which hasn't aged well. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. It's a lot of nostalgia glasses going on and stuff like that. It's only the previous generation, talking about the PS2 era, the Dreamcast era, that literally, like, will have games that still age really well. Like... You know, I just bought, like, during the sale, like, 3 weeks ago, I got, like, Shadow of the Colossus for $5 on the PS3. And I already have the game, but I figured, $4.99, that's not bad. Popped it in, still looks great. And the fact that it's also, like, remote play, I was like, brilliant. Like, just looking at that, I was like, wow, I can't believe this was PS2, man.
I hope Kingdom Hearts looks good.
Yeah, I did not check that out at E3.
Okay, but I hope it looks good. The Kingdom Hearts, what is it?
1.5.
1.5 milliliters, double HD, 3D, 9 Dream Drop, fucking Fantasy Zone mix, different edition.
Mega.
I'm just joking. I like Kingdom Hearts.
So. Mega Mix.
Mega Mix. Remember Fighters Mega Mix?
I think it's Mega Mix. Let me check. Now you've made me curious. I'm like, what the fuck?
That's... From on the Saturn?
Uh-huh. Let's see. No, like Kingdom Hearts. Jeez, like Kingdom Hearst. Like, it has like William Randall Hearst. Yeah, Remix. Kingdom Hearts HD 1.5 Remix. That's the official name.
Yeah, I'm gonna... Yeah, that's on my short list for the fall, because I don't plan on getting too many games.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I could go ahead and list. I'm getting two games 6 days from now. No, actually less than that, 5 days from now.
Uh-huh.
That will be Tales of Zillia and Dragon's Crown.
Okay.
After that, it'll be the Kingdom Hearts HD Remix.
Okay. I have to ask, have you checked our review of Dragon's Crown?
Not yet. I'll do that.
Okay.
So I'll do that while I'm doing this. So there's that.
Okay.
Okay. Then there's Beyond Two Souls.
Okay.
Then there's Batman Arkham Origins.
Oh, wow. You're getting that.
Yeah, because I'm a DC fan. And the Batman Arkham games have been good. Although I will have to agree with you and that Sean guy on Arkham City in a different way, because I have a confession to make about that game in a moment. I got to finish this. And then the Final Fantasy X HD thing.
All right.
So, you know, and a lot of people know this, but I'm actually, you know, I want to play Final Fantasy X again, because, okay, you know, one of the things Alex knows is the first time we did a podcast, we did a website, Games and Me, you know, all that shit.
Yeah.
When it was collapsed, when that was all not really falling apart, but when that kind of ended, I was playing Final Fantasy X, and I didn't like that game. A lot of people, if you follow my channel, you know I did not like Final Fantasy X.
Yeah.
When I first played it way back. Fuck, that was like 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Holy fuck. I didn't like it. Then I played it when I was older, and I enjoyed it a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, and what was ironic was at that same time I enjoyed its sequel a lot more, which is Despised.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, so now I love that original game. I want to play through it, but I also want to play through the sequel. Now I gotta admit, the sequel did have a pretty good battle system, from what I understand. But I remember all the pop stuff, you know, the concert shit. I don't know how I feel about that these days. So. But here's the thing about Final Fantasy X, real quick, and you know, you got me on the tangent.
Sure.
When I played that game, that is probably the most tragic and saddest Final Fantasy game ever. People can say VII is? Fuck no. That game's fucking sad. Mm-hmm. That's a sad game. And it's not just the fucking ending that's sad. Everyone's sad in that game. Everyone. And it's not whining. It's like, you know, we live our lives, but sin is going to come and kill us eventually or something like that. It's like, you know, there's this doom and gloom. And then, you know, it's all about death. It's about the cycle of death. And it's actually a kind of a beautifully sad game. Mm-hmm. And I realized that. I think I didn't like it because I had played 9, and 9 was kind of like, you know, classic, you know, Final Fantasy 4, you know? We're badasses type thing, you know? Zidane and gang. Let's kill fucking, you know, who the fuck was his enemy? That fucking other dude. Whatever. You know, it was that type of mentality. Let's kick ass, guys. Take no prisoners type thing. It had a good story and had character development, don't get me wrong, but it had a more fun gung-ho feeling. 10 caught me completely way by surprise. It was even sadder than 7.
Wow.
So.
If you say so.
If I say so. Well, they all lived in 7.
I don't...
Except for Eris.
I can't say that I remember anything, and really, to be honest, it's been a while. It's been too far back that I don't want to rely on my nostalgia in order to remember all that stuff. So, in a way, I'm kind of glad that I'm going to get a second crack at it. And, you know, what's funny is that, you know, I'm thinking of getting Final Fantasy X on my Vita more so than I am on my PS3, because, you know, if playing Persona 4 Golden was any indication, this it's it, that just further supports my theory that RPGs are just perfect on portables. I mean, yeah,
I can see that on the Vita.
Yeah, I mean, well, it is going to be on the Vita.
Oh yeah, yeah, but I can see how where you're coming from.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, this is probably like too much information right here, but like when I go, you know, to the restroom and stuff like that, like I take my Vita. You know, I just painted like a really terrible picture right now. Like, you see like some dude like in a, you know, like on a toilet just fucking playing Vita games. It's like, oh my God. Like, so, you know, if any of my crew is actually here listening to this podcast, I am so sorry if you've touched my Vita recently, but I can assure you I put alcohol on it, cleans it every single time. But you get what I'm saying? Like, every chance... But what I'm trying to say is every chance I get, I can actually, like, turn that shit on, you know, at any time, continue where I'm at. I don't have to worry about a save point, because save points are bullshit anyway, and I can put my game on standby at any time, which is why I also like the idea that the next generation of platforms, you know, specifically the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4, actually allow you to do this. Because if you're able to save a state of your game. So, for example, I am playing a long-ass game of, like, Final Fantasy 15. Maybe I'll buy it. Who the fuck knows? I am playing that, and then all of a sudden, you know, my roommate says, I want to watch Netflix, or let's eat, or something like that, and I want to watch something on TV. I don't want to stare at Final Fantasy 15's pause screen forever. You can actually, like, get out of the game, go to Netflix, boot that shit up, watch a movie, and then after you're done, get back into your game, and there you go. It's exactly where you left off. That's the kind of convenience that the PlayStation Vita and the next generation platforms are basically allowing me to do. And the 3DS too, to an extent. Although, of course, there's no multitasking and stuff. Same thing with the Vita, but you get what I mean? It's like, multitasking is available for next-gen platforms, and I think that that's one of the best things to ever come. But yeah, anyways, tangents, you know, every time like we do a podcast, it's always filled with tangents.
Yeah, that's what I cause tangents, because I went on a tangent, but you know, but yeah, I think that's it. Is there any handheld maybe I'm missing or something? Or Super Mario Brother, new Super Mario World, 3D World. I'll definitely get that.
Yeah. What do you think of the Ouya?
You know, I don't know. You know, it's cool. I'm glad there's support for it. But I don't know. It's kind of a vague question. I've seen it and I looked it up, and you know, I'm glad that it's giving a room for certain games, including one Saturday morning RPG that, mm-hmm. you know. I a game that I know you weren't particularly fond of, but I'm an advocate for.
Sure.
You know, I think that's one of my favorite games from last year.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and just to let you know, I probably won't do a top 10 game because I hardly played 10 games.
Oh, jeez.
I guess maybe Injustice at this point.
Crazy.
But anyway, that's beside the point. Saturday morning RPG, stuff like that. I've seen some of the stuff. I have to wait and see. You know, I know it has a Final Fantasy game, but it's the DS remake, which is what, 6-7 years old now?
It's also on the iOS platform.
It's on iOS. You could even get – I know you could get the DS version for cheap, too, if you really wanted to, you know, do that.
It's funny because I actually sold mine.
Oh, shit. Because you got it on iOS?
Yeah, I mean, I figured, like, what's the point, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, that's the thing with that. It's one of those things where, you know, it seems to be the fact, oh, let's just put iOS games on or Droid games on a platform. I think it needs at this point is original stuff, you know?
Right.
You know, let's have an indie developer make a goddamn game that's not on iOS.
Yeah, Tower Fall, I think the name is. Like that is an original game. That's exclusive to exclusive right. to Ouya.
That's what it needs to survive though.
It needs more, you're saying.
Yeah, it needs to survive, and then
I think the other thing it needs to do is it needs to be, and again, you know, it needs to be in that same class that Nintendo consoles are in. Okay, and I'll explain why. Nintendo consoles, to me, have always been, well, not always, but since N64, a complement to your main console. With maybe the exception of a GameCube. Mm-hmm. But I think the Wii was a good complement to either a 360 or a PS3, mm-hmm. because there were good games on the Wii. Or both, if you own both like I did, Alex and I did. You know, mm-hmm. Nintendo systems are like that, have been. I think the Ouya is like that because it supports indie games, unless that's all you're going to play is fucking indie games. Mm-hmm. And if that's it, that's fine. But that's my thing. I think it needs to set itself as, look, we'll be a companion to your consoles unless absolutely that's all you play, which I know most gamers, that's not absolutely what they all play.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You know, indie games are great. I love indie games. They're becoming a preference of mine. But I still got to buy me a retail game at least once every 6 months, at least these days. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think it needs to – two things. It needs more original stuff,
mm-hmm.
and it needs more – it needs to be a companion system.
Okay. All right. That's cool. Okay. Okay. So I'm getting you through, like, a lot of the current stuff right now. You know, I want to read you this article that I actually wrote today. This is brand new. Did you hear that there's a new Breath of Fire coming out?
Wait, what?
Yeah, they announced it today.
Okay, I'm going to look that shit up real quick.
Go to the Gamer Horizon website and check my article. The article is called Breath of Fire 6 is a new Breath of Fire game, but probably not the one you were expecting.
Well, 5 wasn't the one we were expecting either, so.
Well, okay. I would like you to read it like loud, like just read it loud as you're reading it. I'd like to hear your reaction, like your voice, like cracking or whatever.
Okay.
It's on the website.
I am reading it.
Read it aloud.
This is at the very least two people in the Gamer Horizon crew who would be ridiculously elated at the notion that a brand new Breath of Fire game is coming out. But at least one of them, I would surmise, would be terrified, nay, flummoxed at the idea of a new Breath of Fire game coming out on platforms that it wasn't even popular on to begin with. Well, folks, that day has come. Capcom Japan announced that a new Breath of Fire, titled Breath of Fire 6, is coming to PC, tablets, and mobile phones. No, Darth Vader screaming. So let's go ahead. The game is reported to have an online mode, but no word on it or not. It'll be cross playable across PCs, tablets, or mobile phones. Breath of Fire 6 is scheduled for 2014 in Japan, and I have absolutely no idea what the bottom catch and say because I don't read Japanese. Hooray, journalism! If you can hear, here's the site that broke the announcement. But like I said, it's in Japanese.
So there you
There's some screenshots in Japanese. There's a character that's not wearing much, typical Japanese. There's a shadow character. Oh, we'll tease you on that. You know, there's a beast character. Ah, it looks like a Breath of Fire game. Because there's always a big beast character. There's, yeah. you know, whatever. And there's a shadow character, which I presume is you could create your own main character.
I have no idea. Like I said, I don't read Japanese.
I don't either, but...
So this is a purely online Breath of Fire 6, by the way.
Online or tablets, that's not a bad move, to be honest, because the Breath of Fire games are, again, very niche. They're extremely niche. You know, they're probably more niche than Shin Megami is today. You know, that's a franchise that I thought would at least never get any game. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So to be honest, I'll be honest. I like the series. I think the game – I haven't played 4, but I've played the first 3 to completion. And of those 3, the third one is the best. Because, again, it had, you know.
Sure.
Because it was good. But that's beside the point. With 6, I think it's again, it goes to what you were saying earlier about handhelds. You know, at least mobile phones and tablets. Sure. Which I think is a smart move, you know. Because, to be honest, Square Enix has made some of their best games. Original games on the phone or tablets. And that's the Chaos Ring stuff.
You know?
Sure. Yeah.
No, not their best stuff ever. I'm saying their best stuff in recent years. Not their best stuff ever. No, 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 no. That's PlayStation Super Nintendo days, buddy. You know? But okay. Not I mean their best stuff that could be comparable to that stuff. Which, you know, back then it was a fucking shit golden shit laying fuck that basically Square was back in those days.
Yeah.
Now it's just it's a shit. Oh, old shit. That's golden. Old shit that's golden. Oh, one occasional very good shit. You know.
Sure.
You get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But that's the point.
Okay. So you're okay with this.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. Okay. But the online thing is what kind of bugs me. But we'll see.
Yeah, it's a purely online multiplayer game.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why like I that's why I wrote the article the way that I did, because and also it's not on a PlayStation platform. Like that is like a purely PlayStation platform kind of system, right? I mean game series, and then all of a sudden like, oh no, we're putting it on tablets and everything else. Again, platforms that it was never known to be popular on. You know, yep. So very questionable choice, but I guess they have a reason for it. We'll just have to see. I was never a fan of the series, but that's why I said there's at least two members of the Gamer Horizon crew. One is Ari, the other one is you. So I was like, technically you're still part of the crew even though you're not active. So I was like, so I better write this way.
Well, it works for me, so.
Yeah. So, okay. So I guess my next kind of question to you is, what did you think of E3? Give me your thoughts, like kind of like your quick thoughts about it and stuff. Like, did you actually catch up on it? You know,
that E3 I did follow. E3 was fucking cool this year. It wasn't boring like the last couple of years where, you know, let's just announce everything beforehand. You know,
yeah,
bullshit. They're still like, let's actually. Yeah, they still did that a bit, but not as bad as last year. Like everything got announced before the fucking show.
That's true. You know? Yeah.
And you have a problem when Ubisoft has the best press conference.
Oh, yeah. It's terrible.
Yeah, that was a fucking crock of shit. Anyway, let's go back to this year real quick. Sure. I loved it. You know, I loved it. I think there was a lot of cool stuff. You know, it was cool to see, you know, some of the Xbox One stuff I'm curious about. I don't think that's going to be Xbox One I'm not going to purchase.
Right.
You know, I'm very critical, probably as critical of Microsoft as I am of Nintendo. My thing is, you know, they're backpedaling as well, but that's beside the point. Some of the stuff they showed, like Crimson Dragon, looks cool. You know, a lot of the games revealed, Metal Gear Solid 5, which we knew about but wasn't – it was announced. I don't know how to fucking say that. How do you say – because it was announced, but it was denied it was announced, and then it was announced.
Which one are you talking about?
Sorry. Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain.
They said like it was like two different games or something weird like that. It's like really, really strange.
Who knows? It's Kojima. But that trailer that they showed looked fucking cool.
Yeah, you know, I saw that live at the Xbox press conference, and I was like, holy shit, that's like running at 60 frames per second. That's crazy.
That looked cool as hell.
Uh-huh.
You know, we got Metal Gear Solid 5 revealed officially. That's to simplify it.
Yeah.
You know, Crimson Dragon, you know, a lot of cool little things like that. As far as it goes, trying to remember the Microsoft press conference, I think the Respawn game looks pretty cool. I'm kind of out of my shooter phase, but I think that looks cool. I know it's purely online though, right?
Titanfall? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it looks cool.
Mm-hmm.
It looks cool as hell. I think that looks like a cool game. I think that's going to be the next big phase in shooters is going to be science fiction shooters.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's going to be it. I think we're kind of, you know, I think we're at the point where the military shooter is going to kind of go the way of the World War II shooter.
I think that's a reasonable expectation.
Yeah, I think we're getting to that point, you know. So there you go. Aside from that, Sony was the one that really killed it for me. I'm going to have to say I disagree with you and Ari. I know you guys are skeptical of Final Fantasy 15. I'm excited. I don't give a fuck. You know, I'm like, it looks cool. I know that it's an action game or whatever. I know you guys wrote an article. Where's the RPG? But to be fair, you know,
to be fair, where's the RPG in Mass Effect? There you go. And I know you could argue me for days, but that's my argument.
Hey, you know what? If you got something, flaunt it. Freaking post in our comments, man. Just saying. The comment section is right there.
Oh, I'd rather say, because, you know, I'll just kind of go into a stream of consciousness, and then it'll turn into my dog.
Oh, Jesus.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. I think Final Fantasy 15 is going to rectify the mistakes that Square has made. Yes, it's been in development for a long time. That is a fair complaint.
Actually, it hasn't.
How long has it been?
I think they just started development like in January.
So they like, oh, let's create a CG trailer, announce it. Oh, okay.
Yeah, they said officially that there's not, like last year, that they weren't really working on 15 or versus 13 for that matter. And then they said like full production actually happened in January. And I was like, wow, okay. So, okay, guys. Like, I was like completely flabbergasted. I was like, I don't know what to say. Like, you guys literally like fucking took an entire generation to basically announce that Versus 13 was actually going to make it to the next generation, you know, but
yeah, that's wow. Bullshit. I'll agree with you on that. That's bullshit. But what does interest me about the game, battle system looks fun. Again, it's not a turn-based. It is what it is.
Sure.
You know, you got that. It's going to be open world, which I'm super excited about, which is nice from what I understand.
Okay.
The story looks cool, which looks like some, like, you know, Final Fantasy's version of gangsters, you know, mm-hmm. The Final Fantasy gangster story.
Oh,
you know,
God.
Let's just add some magical crystals. They've Final Fantasy'd up every story, though. Final Fantasy has its own flair.
Final
Fantasy'd up, yes. Okay, they gave the Final Fantasy flair to every story known. They gave it to the post-apocalyptic epic. They gave it to the fucking, you know, environmentalist story. They gave it to the orphan story. They gave it to the tragic love story. There you go. You know, so why not a gangster story?
That's pretty amazing, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm pretty excited. Kingdom Hearts 3, that I did not see coming. I completely, you know, I'm like, oh, well, they'll probably announce some more I was thinking, oh, they're going to announce more Kingdom Hearts spinoffs.
Yeah.
Kingdom Hearts 3.
Jesus Christ, crazy.
I know, I was like, what the, because I watched the press conference, and I was like, cool, Final Fantasy 15. They're like, oh, we have one more trailer, and I'm like, oh, what the fuck is this? And then I saw the Kingdom Hearts thing, I was like, is this a spinoff? Like, when you know how they showed that, like, that that sizzler reel of, like, footage from the previous games?
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh, this is a Vita spinoff. I didn't think it was going to be 3.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I thought it was going to... Well, let's make a spinoff for Vita, at least, before we actually do 3. Oh, we did 3.
Oh, Jesus.
Before it's Vita spinoff.
Yeah, tell me about it. Oh, God.
But, you know, it'll be cool, so I'm down with that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't know. We'll see how long it takes them to actually finish this game. How about
finish
that?
Both of those. Let's be fair. Finish both of those games.
Yeah, yeah.
Finish both of them.
God.
I'll bet you we won't see Final Fantasy 15 till at the earliest 2000. And this is the earliest. And I'm not saying it's coming out that year. 2015.
That's actually my guess, too.
Late 2015.
Yeah.
Late.
Yeah.
Because Japan will get it first and we'll wait like 9 months for it. So.
Oh, Square.
You know, yeah. Well, I could say the same about Namco. Tales of Zillia came out in September of 2011. Oh, it's August of 2013.
Oh, my God. I know. It's like about a year and a half. We're like, oh, my God, finally.
A year and 11 months.
Oh, almost 2 years.
Yeah, almost.
That's terrible. It's funny. It's like Namco they're such in a weird situation. I don't even know where to begin with them. I mean, the best game that anybody in the crew is playing is like the Tekken card game that Ted is playing, like on his Android phone and tablet. I'm like, all right, well, there you go. There's Namco for you.
You know what, Namco? Here's the thing. About Namco, I'll give them credit for. Namco has always had this flair of being kind of flamboyant and weird, you know.
Yeah.
And
And even with the Berger with Bandai, they still are flamboyant and weird. There's like this weirdness about them, like the zaniness. You know, in all their games, like, you know, we always have to have Pac-Man cameos, which is fine by me, you know. Or even in their serious shit, you know, you go. I was playing Tales of Destiny, the PS1. There's a room you go into, and there's a fucking Gilgamesh doll, the main character from Tower of Jiraga.
Yeah.
There's a who the fuck knows about that other than, you know, old school gamers.
Yeah.
Pac-Man doll, a Klonoa doll. No, not Klonoa. Fuck. Who was it?
My eyes are rolling so far back in my head right now that I'm just like, what in the fuck? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just saying Namco's a zany company. They're zany.
Well, you know what? I have the perfect loading screen game that they can do for the next generation Tekken game. You know what it is?
What is it?
Ridge Racer.
Hey, it'll be an homage to those early PS1 games that they did.
Yeah, I mean, you know, unless they're going to cop out and do Pac-Man or Dig Dug again. I'm like, great, you know. Actually, did you know that Namco has a patent on that? Did you know? Uh-oh.
It wouldn't be a show without an internet drop.
I know, right? Oh, God.
Okay, so what did you say?
I kind of forgot. I was just kind of like saying hello. Oh, yeah. I remember now. Did you know that Namco has a patent on loading screens that have games on it?
Really?
Yeah, they do.
That's cool. It's fucking Namco. Namco's okay. You know what? We talk a lot of we're very. You know what I realized? We're not very critical of Namco.
We're not.
I haven't seen when we were doing the podcast. We weren't.
I think it's because you're the only one who cared enough between the two of us to actually like talk about them. Like I, you know, Tekken. Like the only time that Tekken became relevant to me is when like Capcom said, by the way, we're gonna have a crossover game between Street Fighter and Tekken. I'm like, ooh, okay. And then you know, for in a mild kind of way, like Soul Calibur 5. But otherwise, I was like, man, you know, it's all right, it's all right. You know, they're not one of the companies that I would be looking, you know, to get games from. I guess that's my
angle. But you're not looking at criticizing like you are a Square Enix or a Nintendo.
No, because like they seem to be like this company that just like they're on cruise control the whole time. Like they're like, all right, we'll release like a Tails game. Let's finish up Xenosaga and be done with it. And then, you know, like let's make like a Tekken game, then a Soul Calibur game, then your requisite Naruto games. And you know, they're kind of content with that, and they don't want to kind of, you know, like it's unlike the PS2 era. Where they were like, all right, we're going to do Dead to Rights, you know, they're going to do like all these fucking awesome ass games and stuff. Like, no, they're not like that anymore. They're just like, all right, cool, Tekken, new Tekken, here's a card game.
Oh, new Pac-Man.
New, you know, or a new Pac-Man or something like that. It's like every bone in their body has been drained of innovation. I feel. That's why I don't complain to them because it's like, they seem to have some sort of strategy, and I guess it's working for them, and it's not costing them a lot, I would imagine. So, and, you know, hey, you know, if it works, I guess don't fix it.
You know what they're doing? They're catering. The Namco is like any company. They have fans for, you know, they have their Tails fans, they have their Tekken fans, they have their Soul Calibur fans, they have their retro fans. What they're doing is they're basically, you know, catering to them in a degree that they get steady sales. They're not like, you know, Call of Duty sales, but you know what I mean.
Sure, yeah.
Enough. Yeah. So you're right. And I think, you know, Namco fans know that you're going to get some sort of zaniness, you know, when you play Ridge Racer. Even Ridge Racer games, dear Lord, you know.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, for games that load, you know which one they should do?
What?
They should do that old school fucking space game. You know, that 3D one? I forgot the name of it.
Xevious?
Not Xevious.
it was when they were on their like their 3D kick with Ridge Racer and Cyber Sled and things like that.
Uh-huh. I don't remember.
I'll have to look it up. I know it was in, if you own the PS2 version of Tekken 5, it was included in that.
Shit. I can't remember that right now.
I'm looking it up because it's going to bug me. But yeah, it was included in Tekken 5 because Tekken 5 for PS2 was a packed port, if you remember.
Uh-huh.
It had all three Tekkens from the PS1.
Mm-hmm.
But it had its arcade ones, though. It only had the arcade game ports.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it had all three, and then it had, I think, Starblade. That's the name of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It had Starblade, yeah. And then it said the opening loading screen for Tekken 5 included Space Flyer Starblade.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's cool.
That is pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's Namco, I guess.
Okay, so what else?
So those are the only things that struck you about E3 and stuff like that?
No, there was a couple other things. Halo 5 announcement was pretty cool.
Okay. What did you think of Master Chief showing up in a fucking cloak? Like that. Like, I felt like, I'm like, oh, yeah, I think I was like I was talking to one of the guys at the Xbox press conference, and I was like telling them, like, yeah, because, you know, Master Chief needs a fucking cloak to basically protect all his innards from dust or some bullshit like that. I'm like, you know, it's like, this is kind of silly.
Yeah, I think it was over-dramatic.
Sure.
Over-dramatic, you know. Halo has a tendency to be over-dramatic.
Yeah.
You know, because it has such a deep storyline that requires you to read tens of novels to get the deepness of the storyline that isn't in the games. You know?
Yeah, this is true.
Because I never understood that from Halo fans. They're like, oh, Halo has such a deep story. And I'm like, I play them like, it's a fun story.
Yeah.
But it's not deep. I know deep storylines in games, but that's not deep. Oh, mm-hmm. Read the novels. I'm not going to fucking read the novels.
Yeah.
I'm a lit major. I read fucking Hemingway. I'm not going to read Halo, the novels. Other companies have figured out how to do exposition in game quite well.
Yeah.
Rockstar, for example, they do that very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Without relying on cutscenes or anything. You know, you're driving around in Grand Theft Auto 4. You're right. On a fucking horse with somebody on fucking Red Dead Redemption.
Uh-huh.
You're goddamn getting exposition. They take advantage of those pieces.
Right.
You learn about characters' backstories mm-hmm. during that. You don't need a goddamn cutscene.
Right.
So, but that's one thing Halo 4 did well. I really enjoyed it. I think Halo 4 is the best Halo, I think. But it's just me.
Okay.
So we got that said and done. So 5 will be cool, I'm sure. Yeah. That, what is it, 343 Industries?
Yeah, 343 is still developing it.
Yeah, so it's in good hands.
Okay, that's good. At least I think so.
I think so.
Yeah, so, okay, so anything. So coming out of E3, I guess. Okay, so what did you think of Sony then, I guess? Like, I mean, did you want to, like, kind of go from Nintendo to Microsoft? Or, you know, did you want to talk about Microsoft specifically? Or...
Well, let's talk about... Right now, in this gaming world, it's Sony, Microsoft, right?
Sure.
I think what we have now is we have a console that is rectifying the mistakes of its predecessor early on. Okay, PlayStation 3 was a console for me that has redeemed itself, but there are still some issues with some aspects of it still, you know, the PS3.
Which I don't think they can solve at all because it's, you know, kind of attached to the hardware pretty much.
Yeah, I'm talking stuff like the XMD and stuff, XMB.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's still a very clunky system. But with the PS4, they got the right price, I think. They beat Microsoft in that department, the right approach. Microsoft has backpedaled on a lot of the stuff they've said. But I think the damage is already done, though.
Huh.
I think to a degree. And I think the thing is with
with what Sony's doing, they're like, look, this is, you know, you could do other stuff. You could watch your goddamn Netflix. You could watch your Blu-rays. You could watch all that stuff. But hey, we're still at heart a gaming console.
Yeah.
And I'm getting the opposite. And the Microsoft, I'm still getting the opposite message. Sure, they showed some cool stuff, but I'm still getting the opposite message of, oh, you know, this can play games too. That's sure. The key thing. That's what it feels like. The message from Microsoft is as opposed, Sony is saying you could do these things too, but we're a game console. You could play games too, but we can do all these other things too.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The way I'm explaining? Okay. So that's the message I'm getting from Microsoft. Microsoft is saying we are a media machine, kind of like your iPhone, that can play games as one of its features. Whereas Sony is saying we're a game console, we're a game console at heart, but you can still do other things, but primarily we're a game console. That's the message I'm getting.
Okay.
So I don't know if you agree with that or...
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because the way that they framed themselves, like, the TV stuff and the, you know, the apps, you know, like, and all that are great value adds to a game console. It's kind of weird because it's kind of like the way that they're framing it is like, this is a multimedia box. This isn't necessarily just a game console. And so my question is, how are they going to market this? Are they going to market it as a wholly a game console? Because the most important thing here is that, you know, for me as a gamer, like when I buy a console, I buy it for the games. The stuff like, you know, being able to watch Netflix and all that stuff, those are value adds.
Those, it's a perk.
Yeah, it's a perk of a game console. So, you know... I understand Microsoft's angle by trying to sell it like an add-on, like, you know, like, or with TV featurettes and stuff like that and overlays, but it is inherently suffering from one fatal flaw of their own idea. And the way that they were saying it is that they wanted to kind of converge everything into the Xbox One, you know, in terms of cable, music, movies, and whatnot, and in games. But the problem is that there's one feature that you can't do, which is the most important thing that a lot of people do nowadays, which is DVR. You can't do that on the Xbox One. You still have to have a cable box that would do it. And the rationale was that we would make it so simple so you could basically, like, change channels on your cable box without actually having to use the... I'm like, that's all nice. That's great. But the bottom line is, you still need to go to your cable box in order to turn on DVR. That's not being simple. You can't just say, like, record show. Or record show on, like, channel 15 or something at 5 o'clock. At least I don't think so. So...
Yeah.
It's well-meaning features that are additions to a game box, which, you know, a lot, you know, Microsoft is now claiming, oh, we have like a maximum throughput of like 196 gigabits per second, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, for our memory. And I'm like, yeah, that's nice. But don't you think like GDDR5 could be a lot higher than that too? You know, it's fucking weird. It's so weird that they're focusing on that. And it almost feels like it's like a sleight of hand, like a magician's trick.
See, and that's the thing is it's overhyping. I remember even at the conference, they're like, you could watch Netflix. And I'm like, well, a lot of devices could play, watch Netflix, dude.
Yeah.
I have a Vita, two iPhones, a Xbox 360, a Wii U, a 3DS. I mean, a fucking computer that I'm on that couldn't watch goddamn Netflix, my PlayStation 3, right?
Yeah.
You know, and even if you want to count the Wii U as two devices that can play Netflix. So if goddamn you guys are hyping like it's this new thing, we get it, Microsoft. You were the first console to have Netflix, but that was what, 5 years ago, bud? You know, here's my thing. That's the problem. They're overhyping things that don't need to be overhyped. People, you know, they're not looking to buy, oh, my Xbox One can play Netflix. Wow, I gotta buy it. That's as generic saying,
it can play games, I gotta buy it. Because if you just say it plays games, you're buying it. You don't know what you're getting into. You gotta say what games you're playing. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So Sony, I love the way they casually said, "Well, you know, you could do this and this, but we're a game console." That's what I loved about Sony's approach with the PS4.
Mm-hmm.
They're not trying to pretend it's anything else but a game console. It's like Microsoft's ashamed that it's a game console.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm getting. It's like, oh, we're a game console too, but we could do other stuff like Nike and shit. I remember I'm just mocking from a couple of years back, but right. You know what I'm saying. You know, but that's my stance. I think Sony has the better message right now than any of the other three. You know, Nintendo, I don't know what the fuck they're saying. So, you know, we put Mega Man in Smash Brothers. Yay!
Jesus.
Oh, and we took out story mode, so we don't know why Mega Man's there. He's just there.
Come on. What the fuck? This is so confusing.
So,
God.
Hey. So, okay. What can you do?
Yeah, what can you do? Like, it's, you know, hey, I'm still getting an Xbox One. Somebody needs to cover the goddamn system, right?
Yeah.
I'm the only... By the way, I'm the only one.
And the crew?
I'm the only one in the crew. Sean, who is like a huge Xbox fan, is a member of the PlayStation Nation now. I'm like, holy crap. And I don't know if you know this, but Chris sold his entire Xbox 360 collection and converted it to the PS3.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's funny because like in the previous podcast, he was complaining about how Alan Wake is not on the PS3. And I'm like, but it's a Microsoft game. It's your goddamn fault.
Yeah. I'm happy with my PS3 stuff.
So moving to Sony. So you're really happy with Sony's direction, obviously. You're really happy with the price. Anything else you want to add to that?
One thing I didn't follow was, and you may have to, what's the thing, what's going on with the Vita?
The Vita is being positioned as an indie platform haven. So basically, if you buy the indie game on the PS3, you know, it's usually cross-buy with the Vita. And games like, and I told you this on the phone, games like, you know, Hotline Miami and all these other games and stuff are finding a new life, a new lease in life on the Vita. And in turn, it gives the Vita a new lease in life too, because these are games that are not only well-made, but they're also like really perfect for the Vita platform. I mean, I don't know. Have you ever gotten like Guacamelee when it came out? Oh my God. That is like one of the best like Metroidvania style games ever released. You should get it.
Guacamelee? Okay.
Yeah. It's from the guys who made the Mutant Blobs game, Mutant Blob Attacks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the on the Vita, that's really good. Like, it's Guacamelee is basically their game. I was gonna write a review on it, but you know, I got sidetracked with other projects, which I'll talk to you about later. And yes, I get your yawning.
Yeah, it's a little late where I'm at, and I'm going on. Side story: this is not game related.
Okay.
Because your podcast is raw and real, apparently. This is raw and real. My air conditioner broke, so I didn't sleep a wink last night, and I'm still repairing. Yay, fun.
See, I actually, I don't know if I told you this, but I'm moving to a new apartment in about 2 weeks. And I'm actually getting, I actually have, like, central air on that, too. And my current apartment actually has central air conditioning. So every time I move, I make sure that we have central air conditioning in every single place that I move. Because if that's gone, there's no way I'm going to move there.
Well, I'm in Colorado, so I have to use a swamp cooler. There you go.
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway, so that's why I'm yawning. Because I'm bored.
Okay, so are you excited? So what game that Sony showed are you excited about? Because obviously you said, like, you think in Microsoft's camp, you think Halo, the next Halo is going to be cool. You think Titanfall is going to be cool. Quantum Break, you didn't say anything about that. That's the Remedy game that they're making. What did you think of that?
That looks cool.
Okay.
That looks pretty cool. I think Sony had, and again, you know, I'm probably sounding like a Sony fanboy, but...
You have been for the past year, but it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It's just...
You don't need to reiterate why.
Yeah, it's just I don't know.
It's a road that we've treaded so many times in the podcast history that just go on like season one or season two of the podcast and listen to any of them and you'll hear Anthony rant about why he thinks Sony is so fucking awesome right now. So
yeah, right now. Yeah. If you listened to the Games and Me days, I was a bit different.
Yeah, you were. You were way different.
Yeah, Microsoft. But that's when they were actually releasing stuff that I was down with, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, fuck, we got a Tales game on that shit. We got a goddamn all kinds of neat stuff. And then 2009 happened and Uncharted 2 came and changed everything.
Mm-hmm.
Which is still one of the best games from last gen. This gen, whatever gen it is.
It's some gen.
Yeah, we're in between gens now.
Yeah.
It's confusing. So, Quantum Break with the whole TV series and all that stuff going on, that's a pretty cool thing. I think that's going to be a good one to have on Xbox One. And Remedy is – they're very good storytellers, as critical as I am of Alan Wake. You know, you go on my YouTube channel, you can see an hour-long debate between me and Alex about goddamn Alan Wake. You know, if you really want to know about the details about that, you know, they are good storytellers, and they go into areas that – many people don't.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely, you know? Agree. Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
So I'll tell you what I am.
Okay, so let's not get too far into the topic. Talking now about like games that Sony showed that you're really impressed with that you might pick up when you get the PS4. Go.
Oh fuck, I'm blanking, I'm trying to think because I got mind raped by Final Fantasy 15, god damn it. There are some things, there are a couple games, but there I can't think of it.
Describe it.
Oh shoot. They showed it at the one back in February 20th.
Infamous? They showed everything. So basically they showed all their launch titles that are first party. They showed like Drive Club, they showed Infamous, they showed Killzone, and they showed Knack. Those are their big titles.
Knack.
Okay.
Knack, yeah. That one looks cool. I thought Knack looks pretty neat.
Okay.
Knack, and then the Killzone looks pretty impressive too. Again, I'm not a big shooter guy anymore, but I kind of like the vibe and the feels of the Killzone games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because it's got like a mix of like, it's like Halo meets, you know, fucking dystopian type thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've always liked that. And I think the new Killzone, like I remember they showed some of those cutscenes of like, you know, how the world was before, and they got, what was it, invaded or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I kind of like a lot of that stuff, so.
Right.
That's pretty cool. Killzone looks pretty cool. I think PlayStation 4 has a good lineup. I think also bringing some games that are on current gen is common, because we saw that last time, you know, mm-hmm. when the new consoles broke out. I mean, remember we saw one game that I recall that we saw both on next gen and on the dying platforms was Splinter Cell.
Mm-hmm.
Double Agent.
Yeah.
So Splinter Cell Double Agent was on PS2, and then you could get it on 360 and PS3.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one example of that.
Okay.
So.
All right.
So I think we're starting to see that too. So that's cool.
Okay.
So I can't remember. Again, you know, I do apologize. If this was a year ago, I know everything about gaming. I don't anymore.
You know, okay. So
I want to talk about a game that is coming out, though. I'm very pumped for. I love the trailer they released. This is not about PS4. This is about PS3 for Beyond.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Beyond Two Souls.
Okay.
That looks like I'm really excited for that game. The new trailer they released for it, I'm.
Are you talking about the one where she's, like, in a military and stuff like that?
Yeah, where they show, you know, they announce William Dafoe's in it, too, and all that. I mean, you know, let's look at that, and then, Heavy Rain. I liked Heavy Rain a lot, but I know it had its flaws,
yeah.
You know? Its flaws was in its presentation, and its presentation was... Come on, guys. This is 7th gen. There's no reasons we should drug out actors from Resident Evil 1 from the PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and bring them to a next gen game.
Yeah.
Because that game had the problem with that game was it had voice actors that were good. Uh-huh. It had voice actors that sucked.
It was a mixed bag, yes.
Yeah. And sometimes the presentation suffered, but the story in that game was unbelievably cool. It had one of the coolest plot twists in this gen, I mm-hmm. think.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't played it, it's like $10. Go buy it. You know, it's worth $10. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was worth the $60 I paid for it, but I would go pay $10 and get it.
Uh-huh.
And I would say, you know, that plot twist was fucking mind-blowing.
Yeah.
There was a killer plot twist in that. So those guys know how to tell story. I think beyond from getting like Alan Page and, you know, and Dafoe and things like that, they're improving on what Heavy Rain did wrong.
There's definitely a pedigree there.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like they're improving on that. Well, and even with other characters, you know, from what I saw in the trailers, you know, if you look at the Heavy Rain trailers that were promoted, the mixed bag voice acting was very, very evident
yeah.
in those trailers.
Ugh.
In this one, you know, the one that bugged me the most, I got to go on the tangent on this, was the FBI agent.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, I don't know. God, I don't know what the fuck.
The FBI agent, the guy who had like the glasses,
uh-huh.
and he had a drug addiction.
Yeah,
as part of his storyline, I loved that they had that. The problem with that character was he talked like this, or so he had a funny accent.
Dude, I don't even remember that fucking game. I need to like replay like Heavy Rain again.
Yeah, it's not a long game, so
it's not. But even then, it was just fucking weird. Like yeah. I was like, what the fuck.
You know, you look at that game and it had some amazing set pieces.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like one piece that is when at the beginning of the game, one of the main characters, his son dies. He gets hit by a car.
Sure.
And he's in the mall with you. And there's a scene where you're running with him in the mall looking for your son.
Yeah.
And that scene created such – I mean, there's moments like that. There's that moment. There's also the lizard where you have to cut off appendages.
Yeah.
They had some really good moments in that game that were fucking brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
The problem was the voice acting.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not one to say, oh, voice acting, you know, destroys a game. If they had voice acting like that in Street Fighter, I wouldn't give a shit. But
yeah.
when you're telling a story, it's one thing to have it in Street Fighter. It's one thing to have fucking broken English in goddamn Samurai Showdown, which, you know, that type of shit. You know, well, round one, however they fucking talk.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to have broken English in Samurai Showdown, but in a game that tells a story, doesn't cut it.
Yeah, it's like, Jason! And it's like so fucking weird. I was like, what the hell, dude? Jason!
But I think Beyond it has – they learned their lessons from Heavy Rain.
Sure.
So. And then Heavy Rain learned its lessons from Fahrenheit or Indigo Prophecy, whichever
yeah.
one you go by. And then – what was that game before it? I forgot. There was a game they did before.
Shit. It's the one with David Bowie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. Don't matter. But yeah, that's one. I love that trailer. I've watched that trailer a bunch of times.
Uh-huh.
So that one I'm pretty excited for.
Mm-hmm. Jesus. Yeah, so, okay, so what else do we need to do to keep track? I mean, what else do we need to catch you up on? I don't actually know, because, like, I mean, we kind of talk, like, almost every day, almost every week. You know, like, what are you looking forward to then, like, this holiday season? Like, what is the most thing, like, the thing that you're most looking forward to this holiday season?
Oh, fuck. That's hard to say because all of them are for different reasons. I say if I'm looking for a game that is going to be story heavy,
uh-huh.
it's going to be Beyond.
Okay. Wow.
It's going to be to get my superhero kick, that's Arkham Origin.
Okay.
You know, I think I'm really excited. I mean, you know, I got it at GameStop because I got to play as goddamn fucking Deathstroke, you know?
Uh-huh.
You know, I think that's going to be a good game. You know, and then, you know, the nostalgia factor is going to be there with Kingdom Hearts and,
yeah.
you know, Kingdom Hearts and Final Fantasy X, and then you got the Mario game, which, again, you and I, if you go back to Season 1, you and I fucking basically come all over the place over Super 3D Mario Land. Mario 3D Land. Put in such crass, because that's what we did. You know? We gushed about that game for how many weeks?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you'll probably... That and fucking... cave games, but
oh Jesus, yeah, that kind of died down ever since you left. So I'm kind of like, all right, I'm calmed down with like cave games right now.
I'll occasionally play a Bug Princess every now and then.
Okay,
but you know, not like to the point where I was like, yeah, you know, I've been playing a little bit of Death Smiles too. But other than that, you know, what have I been playing on iOS? Not a whole lot.
I haven't. Oh, have you tried out the Layton game on the iOS?
No, I haven't. The Professor Layton?
No, it's not a Professor Layton game. It's the Layton. It's a Layton Brothers game, and also like all. I want to say all the Phoenix Wright games, I think, is available right now too.
I need to get those two. I only have the first one, so Payday, I'll buy the other two.
Yeah,
or six, or however many there are.
Yeah, that's quite a bit.
So, yeah, so that's cool. I like the first Phoenix Wright. That's a fun game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally agree. But yeah, so, okay. What did you think of... Okay, so another thing that we talked about, of course, on the old Gamer Horizon podcast is what your thoughts usually on, like, movies and stuff. So we talked about a lot of these already, but I want to hear your thoughts about like all the superhero movies that have come out so far.
Oh, okay. People are gonna kill me.
And technically include Pacific Rim because it's relevant.
Yeah, it's very relevant. People are gonna kill me about Iron Man 3. I had issues with that movie. Now, mind you, you know, there's a lot of people who had issues with Iron Man 3. A lot of them were fans of the Mandarin character.
Sure.
I didn't have that issue. I thought, I don't know, the movie felt overly goofy to me at times. And mind you, there's a sharp wit to both Iron Man 1 and 2, but there's a difference between wit and goofy. And I thought there was elements of it goofy. I also thought, and I know you disagree with me about the kid, but I thought that over-goofalized it a little bit.
Over-goofalized.
That's one thing I used to do. I used to come up with words, so over-goofalized.
Okay.
So there you go. So there you go. That's what I got to say on that. Let's move to Can I talk about Star Trek?
Sure.
I love Star Trek. I think J.J. Abrams killed it with the other two. With the first one, he killed it with this one. I think it's not a case of the sequel is better than the original or vice versa. I think they're just both very damn good films.
Okay.
That's just my opinion on that. I think they're equally good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for different reasons. You know, the first one was an origin story.
Right.
The second one was building upon this new universe, mm-hmm. and taking a familiar element and telling their own version of that story.
Right.
So that was – I love that. So there was that. Man of Steel. I loved it. I loved it more than more people. The ending didn't bother me. The controversial Zod ending, because let's be honest, as someone who reads DC Comics – read Silver Age Superman. Silver Age Superman was a douchebag, you know?
Yeah.
He was more douche. If you people are calling Man of Steel Superman a douchebag, nope, that one's not a douchebag. Read Silverman a douchebag. Silver Age Superman, you know, that's the Superman that subjugated Lois Lane to being a housewife.
Right.
So he was pretty misogynistic as well. What did bother me, and you and I actually agreed on this as we talked before, was I think the flashbacks should have been better placed.
Yeah.
Yeah. But other than that, I think the film was awesome. I disagree that there's too much action in the end, because if you say that, there's too much action at the end of the Avengers. Pacific Rim. You and I disagree on this film completely. I loved it. You thought it was too cheesy. I thought it was cheesy enough to like it. But hey, it's no fucking Sharknado, so everyone's a winner there.
Jesus, you know? Yeah.
What's the fascination with Sharknado, by the way? I couldn't even sit through it.
I have no idea.
Because let's be honest, there are tons of those type of movies on the Sci-Fi Channel mm-hmm. that are exactly the same. What makes Sharknado different? I watched a half hour of goddamn Sharknado, and there's nothing out, nothing to separate it from the various Python versus Mega Cobra, you know, anything like that. There's nothing.
I have nothing to add to this, primarily because I don't have cable. I think that's reasonable. Right? Uh-oh. Did I lose you again?
For a second, my son's talking to me about Kingdom Hearts, which I just talked to you about Kingdom Hearts.
Yes.
So, you know what he's been playing a lot of on my 3DS?
What?
Dream Drop Distance. He's played it more than I have.
For shame.
Yeah. So there you go. But yeah, you were talking about the – hold on a second.
Usual stuff never fails to amuse me, like how many interruptions we get. So yeah, this is not like why we stopped the podcast. Of course, he's already told you that the reason why we stopped the podcast is because of his stuff.
I'm back.
Okay, so just again kind of saying, like, you know, this is typical for like a podcast that we record on one night, that, you know, you have like maybe 3 or 4 interruptions throughout the night.
It wouldn't be a podcast without it.
Yeah, and we usually, like I said, we usually edit it out, but because this is after hours and stuff, like, keep it in there.
So my question is this: I probably, well, let's talk about Gamer Horizon for a second, okay?
Okay.
I'm not, you know, this isn't me coming back full time because I still can't commit to that at this time, right? Sure. And you know that.
Yeah.
But I told Alex I'm not going to say anything on air. There might be some schedule opening. So if he wants me to do more podcasts, I can do that.
Okay.
So I'm leaving that open to you.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, as far as that goes, like, we'll catch up from time to time. But I understand that, you, like you said earlier, school and work is really important. And, you know, it's like, I know that you have gaps in between your schooling. So we'll obviously take advantage of that, but for the time being, you know, I hate to be the reason why your schooling or your work fails, you know? And I'm pretty sure, like, based off of what you've seen on the website, I mean, we're handling it pretty well, you know?
Yeah. 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 You should add a new person though. You should hire a monkey.
Wait, what? Why?
I'm being a sarcastic asshole, so I'm just joking. I'm just saying you should hire a monkey, because every good company has a monkey.
I don't get it, because, I mean, wait.
Oh, you don't get the monkey joke?
No, I don't.
Okay, the monkey jokes are like, they're just monkey jokes. There you go. I'm just making a joke about monkeys.
I don't.
You should get a monkey because every company has a monkey that just types.
I don't get it. I really don't.
I'm sorry. It's not an insult to the. I'm just saying. I'm trying to make a monkey joke. It probably utterly failed. So let's continue on.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah. I've been talking all this time. Like, I, you know, did you want to say anything, or, you know, or anything at all? Like, again, like, think of this as like your opportunity to kind of catch up with like your listeners and your viewers and whatnot and stuff, because I mean, I don't know when, you know, we're gonna do this again next, because heaven forbid you're like always not available these days.
Yeah, well, the YouTube channel is, I'll just say, it's dead right now. Will it come back? I don't know. And there's one thing I need to tell, and I've told you this before, okay? The one thing that's changed over the last few months is there have been plenty of times where I have taken the internet too seriously, right?
Okay.
What I mean about that is, I used to go on forums, try to argue people. I try to change the way maybe people should not be negative. Not going to happen. I know that now. It's really when I read an article like on Newsarama or even on GameSpot, I don't even look at the comments. I don't go on forums. That's why I'm not on Twitter or Facebook. I am on the internet, but I don't go and read comments. Does that make sense? I don't go on forums.
Sure.
I don't go on my YouTube channel. I don't even – fuck. Let's do this live, actually. Let's see how many messages and comments I got on my YouTube channel. This will be the first time I've checked it since February.
Uh-oh. Okay.
You want to do this live?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's see how –
Let's do it live. Fuck it.
Okay, let's do this.
I'm actually gonna go to your channel too, just to kind of see like how it changed. The world of Magus, anime reviews, game reviews, and rants.
How many subscribers do I got? I don't even know that.
It says here 5,762.
Okay.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
It's the same it's been.
Okay.
Okay. Let's try. Hopefully this is the right password.
You don't even know your password? That's fucking pathetic. That's crazy. Dude,
I haven't been on. Well, it'll say I logged in, but I am automatically logged in on my phone.
Okay.
But I don't check messages.
Okay.
Or comments.
Okay.
Because you know what's funny? Last time I checked, I've had people.
You have comments on your wall or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Let's take. Why is it. Fucking. You want to use the same. Yes, I want to use the same name. Magus X1. Shut the fuck up already. Not you, the fucking YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay,
we're both looking at the like Anthony's YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/MagusX1. That's Magus as in like the bad guy from Chrono Trigger, you know, X and a 1. You know, kind of like Xbox One. Haha. See, you had your name before.
47 comments. Yeah. Let's see. My last comment was on July 26th. Let's read it.
Okay.
Let's see. Hang that's kind of what overrated means. Okay. Let's see what this says. Good times.
Wait, what?
That's another comment.
Okay.
Oh, here's one. I made a rant about enemy reviewer. I'd say he is at fault, especially since I don't even care about this anymore. That's how much I've changed. You know, I used to check my comments all the time.
But I guess my question is there anybody asking where you've been?
A couple. Where have you been? Where have you been? Maybe I should make at least one video.
Yeah, I guess you can. Like, there's one from, like, Valis77 Returns from 4 months ago. It says, hey, long time no see, what's up?
Oh, shit, I forgot about that guy. He was a Let's Player.
Yeah.
And he used to, you know what? He was very bizarre. You know what he used to do? Uh-huh. He used to do Let's Eat.
Let's Eat?
Yeah, they were disgusting. Let's eat a bologna sandwich. I'm good, bro. Just stick with the Let's Plays. He's a cool guy, but that's a bit much.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, Let's Eat.
Let's Eat. Wow.
Yeah, Let's Eat. I can't even watch Let's Plays.
Really?
No, I'd rather play the game.
Uh-huh.
That's just me. Let's see. Let's play Super Castlevania. Magus is old. I could probably stand half of the video. Also, Magus is old now. Okay. that video, mind you, I posted back in 2008, so I guess it is old.
Mm-hmm.
I hate fanboy. Jesus, there's an argument going on in one of my old videos.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Oh man,
this one, I love it. This one looks. This one's great. You look like my Mexican friend's dad, but speak great English.
Wow.
Ah, YouTube, there's a reason why I haven't come back.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, it's funny because when I started the channel, mm-hmm. 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's how we met, was through YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, let's see. When I started this, I used to check every day. Mm-hmm. Whenever I post a video, I would check every minute to see comments. Now I'm like, yep, comment.
Very comment. Kind of... indifferent or something like that sometimes.
Yeah, it's just that I've got a lot of other things going on. And, you know, what still pisses me off about YouTube, about bloggers,
uh-huh.
is that they still, you know, a lot of them think they're high and mighty because, oh, I have 5,000 subscribers. I'm better than you. Great for you, bud. Okay, great for you. That doesn't mean your life changes.
Yeah.
It doesn't. I have 5,000 subscribers. I have the same problem. So that's mm-hmm. another reason why I left YouTube. And there's certain people, you know, there that have 20,000 subscribers that mm-hmm. think collecting videos will get you somewhere. So
yeah,
there you go. Getting you somewhere is going to college, pal. So
mm-hmm.
that's my thing on it.
Yeah.
So
You know, I think I'm kind of done with the YouTube thing. I do, you know, it is fun to make a video though.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of just ranting about stuff. But.
Yeah. I mean, I'm interested in obviously like what you think of all the like of a lot of things and stuff, but it's like I don't know, you got to do your own thing, man. Like especially for you, like you're basically like you're kind of busy these days. I mean, I'll be honest. You've been really busy.
And I do write a lot, but I'll tell you, the reason I struggle with writing on like a journalism level is I'm not a journalistic writer. I'm a story writer. Mm-hmm. I write fiction very well.
Yeah.
But I don't write – I have a hard time writing, as you know, journalism.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a difference.
Yeah.
You know, there's people who write journalism well but can't write fiction. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's just a fact. So
right,
you know, I write a lot of fiction, and that's kind of my thing these days.
Well, I suppose it's kind of sad to kind of see you like not in your, you know, your. I don't want to say you're not in your top form, but it's like that. The whole community has kind of soured you on coming back sometimes, you know, and YouTube is a very volatile community in general, and you know, seeing all the people that's kind of spawned from that era. If you know what I'm saying, like all the people that basically like when I started with, you know, with YouTube and stuff like that as well, with my old team and stuff, like it's not the same. It's just a shadow of its former self. And it's really sad. But then you see people who, you know, who are trying something new and they're still kind of sticking with the community. And I applaud that. But I guess that's one of the main reasons why Gamer Horizon is the way that it is that we have our own podium. We have our own kind of stand where, you know, soapbox where we can post all our stuff that we feel is really important, not just for us, but for actually for first and foremost for all the gamers out there. Because I feel that, you know, I don't know if you agree with me on this, but I sometimes feel that most journalists like are kind of out of touch when it comes to the needs of gamers, like, you know, like us, the consumer, the gamer, you know.
It's not just gaming journalists, most journalists in general.
Yeah. So it's like, and to me, like the most important thing, and which is why when I founded Gamer Horizon with you when it was still a podcast, was to basically make sure that our foot was still firmly placed in the side of the consumer, even though we had these hooks on, you know, different publishers and developers. Hell, like... It's kind of funny because did you know that everybody in the game industry has a profile for every single website they meet? Like, so like,
let's, know let, that.
So like, let's say like, oh yeah, this guy from IGN, like this guy tends to do say this, blah, 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 and stuff. And it's kind of like they have like kind of dossiers and stuff as far as like the people that they can meet. You know what I mean? So it's kind of interesting that some companies are like that.
It is.
And so they cater their marketing towards their sensibilities. And for us, because we're smaller, like I feel that we're so nimble and we can react much faster. And there's its own share of disadvantages, but I feel that the most important thing here is that we are still part of the consumer base, even though from time to time, not all the time, we get, you know, review copies and stuff.
That, yeah. You guys, I that's one thing that was fun. We were buying a lot of games, remember?
Oh, God, yeah. I remember back in 2009, like, I would buy, like, almost all the games that are out.
You didn't buy Halo games.
No, I didn't, yeah.
Yeah, you did. You bought ODST.
Oh, yeah, that's right, I did.
Yep, you did. Can't get away from that one, my friend.
Uh-huh.
Can't get away from that. You did buy ODST, so.
Okay. I admit, I bought ODST, but I didn't buy Reach.
No, you didn't buy Reach. I know that.
Uh-huh.
You bought ODST, though. But anyway.
Fucker.
But yeah, I remember those days were different. I was pretty much buying a lot of stuff, too. But now I just.
Yeah.
You know, it's I'm very picky on what I on my tastes.
Yeah.
I think, too, is another thing that's changed, so...
Yeah, and that's fine. I mean, people, you know, like, we're human beings. Like, we always evolve. We you know, we deal with shit when life throws something like a curveball. Like, I have to do that, too, you know, a lot this year, actually. Like, I had to do that. And, you know, we come out, like, better you know, people in the end. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So.
Yep, that's true.
Yeah. So. Yep. I have to say, so before we kind of start thinking about leaving and kind of going back to our regular daily routines, I sent you a link earlier that I don't want you to mention what the link is, what the passwords are, obviously, and stuff like that. I want you to take a look at it because not a lot of people know this. And I've hinted and kind of mentioned about this, like on you know, the After Hours podcasts, that we actually have a brand new website. And I want you to be one of the first people who are outside of the group to actually see it. And I want to see your, I want to hear your reaction to it. So with that said, go check it out. We'll do it live. Like what we did on YouTube. I want you to check it out.
I'm looking at it right now. Mm. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. It fits the format of what the website is, you know. It, you know, the other thing about the website, it doesn't, you know, it's not like other website where you have a bunch of fucking categories. It basically, it's very simplistic, which is a good thing. Not saying it's simplistic in a bad way, but it's easy to navigate, it seems.
Yeah. Have you tried clicking on, like the... like one of the articles and stuff, just to kind of see like what it looks like. Because I mean, it took me literally, like, as far as the website goes, like probably about 2 months to actually build this up. It's really I really worked hard on this to make this the way that it is.
Oh wow, I like that, the related posts and all that.
Yeah.
See, hey, I like Ari's picture.
Oh really?
Yeah, he's all, ah.
He actually wants to change his photo.
Yeah, the Sean Mesler dude's like yelling in a microphone.
He wants to change his photo, too. He's like, I got to change that photo before that goes live. I'm like, well, it's like what? It's like August 1st now, and he still haven't like done it.
And Chris is the most normal of the pictures, so.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess I don't look normal in my photo.
Oh, I didn't see your photo. Oh, I see it. You're pretty normal.
Relatively
okay. You
normal.
You and Chris are normal. Ted is in between Ari and Chris and you and Ari and Sean Messler. And I keep calling Sean. Because I don't know him. I know Ari. I know Chris. I've known Ted.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know Sean. I keep saying Sean Messler, the legendary Sean Messler that I have yet to meet. Sean Messler. I'm not insulted. I don't know the guy. I'm just like, oh, you know. You know what? If we do this again, I got to have that motherfucker on. If he's going to, you know.
We'll see. Because, I mean, he has like a pretty rough schedule too. So, I mean, we'll have to figure that out. So you're liking the site?
Yes, I am.
All right. So you guys heard that. Anthony Fernandez, a.k.a. MagusX1, approves of the new site. And hopefully once the new website launches in August, at some point in August, you guys will like it too. So, yeah, man, before we go, like, do you have anything, any wisdom to impart? Any, like, final words before we wrap this up?
Yeah, I want to go back to a few minutes ago. Not a few minutes ago, but back to the previous discussion we had about online communities and stuff.
Okay.
The one thing I've learned over the year, over the last 2 years, because there's a lot more changes in my personal life. It's been going on since the thing is just, you know, there's a lot of negativity. There was even some in this podcast, too, which is fine. You could be critical, but... you don't need to get worked up on it like I used to, you know. You don't need to argue everybody about every little thing, you know. You don't need to go on Twitter. You don't need to go on Facebook to argue and get on. I mean, it's okay to debate, but I mean, you know, arguing about things like we tend to, like, overly serious.
Right.
You know, that's one thing. That's why I don't go to forums. You know, I don't even take comments seriously. Like, you know, I'll look at a comic book comment and there'll be some sort of complaining. And, you know, it seems like what makes me feel good is that's the silent minority.
Mm-hmm.
The majority seems pretty pleased with a lot of things, at least, that I can think of.
Right.
So the thing is I think I've sunk into the silent majority. And if I'm stupid for that, because we tend to judge the silent majority as stupid, so be it, because I'm happy being fucking stupid. There you go.
Wow. Okay. Is that really what you're thinking of? Just.
No, I'm just saying I'm happy. You know, I'm happy with you know, with I don't you know people. I've come to the fact that lots of people like Call of Duty. I don't like Call of Duty. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to complain about it. You know, I can be critical of it, but I don't need to, you know, have the mentality that, you know, I'm better than you, you know. A lot of people seem to have that mentality.
Okay.
And I, you know, I'm past that. I'm like, you play your Call of Duties, bro. You know, that's mm-hmm. cool. You know, you could do you get your perks and all that. If that makes you happy, I'll stick and play with my little anime games here. You know,
no, Jesus.
That's what makes me happy. That's what makes me happy. That's the point, you know, I'm trying to make.
Okay.
So we just need to be more happy.
Okay.
You know, not saying there's anything wrong with negative reviews and stuff though either.
Okay.
You know, what I'm saying is fighting someone over the internet, like I have a tendency of used to doing so much, which you haven't seen me do in a long time yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hence why I don't go on my YouTube channel anymore.
I see.
And I will leave you on one last comment. This one's great. Comment on your video, Magus Discussions, I prefer DC over Marvel. Laughing my ass off. This motherfucker Magus is still on the net. Who would have thunk? That was posted back in April. And I think that video's over a year old, so
jeez.
I wasn't even on at that time.
That's crazy.
Because technically I wasn't on the internet
yeah.
at that time.
That's pretty crazy.
So there you go, folks.
Okay. All right. Any last words? I mean, I'm trying to make sure, like, you basically have, like, all the last words before, like, you disappear for, like, 2 or 3 months again.
I'm not going to disappear forever. I'll
Well, you're not. Well, you're not obviously going to disappear from, you know, from our conversations and all that stuff. But we realize these people haven't heard from you since February. So,
yeah.
I mean, take the time to fucking make sure that everybody hears what you got to say. And then
two things.
OK,
I promise within the next month, and I can keep this because I have a time frame. I can do this next week. I will do one YouTube video. About what? I don't know. It's not going to be a goodbye video because I'll probably still make a video once a year at least.
Once a year.
Yeah. I will. But what will probably happen, though, is I will probably make that video and never comment on it.
Oh, God.
So there you go.
Okay.
Okay. So that's that. Okay. And then the last thing is, I will say it. With that, guys, Magus out.
All right. Okay, so that about does it. It's like about, you know, 9:11 here, and then, you know, where Anthony is, it's about 10 o'clock. So thanks for joining us, man. I'm glad you took the time to, like, you know, kind of catch up with us and let us know, like, how you are. You know, like, a lot of people miss you. Like, some of the guys here, like, kind of miss, like, some of your comments and stuff. And, you know, don't fret. Even though you're not complaining and ranting and all that stuff, we've got Sean to do that for us, so. Yeah, he is a true successor to your rantiness. Let's put it that way.
He doesn't have my channel though, so there you go.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, man, and I guess I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks. See ya.
Yep. So yeah, I don't know. It's been dude, how does it feel like after all that time?
I think it went